It is my pleasure to be with you today. This is station KGVM 95.9 FM and KGVM.org on the internet. And this is the Health and Happiness Show. Another great program today. I'm Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist, with Dr. Suzanne Wood, co-host, speech-language pathologist. We are supported by the Public Education Committee of the Montana Psychological Association, as well as the Gallatin Valley Radio. We focus on areas of mental health primarily. Today's program will present pertinent issues regarding sexual assault. If for some reason you think you need to change channels, please do so, but this is a very important presentation for all. Dr. Suzanne will now introduce the program.
April 2026 is the 25th anniversary of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. The roots of this event reach back several decades, growing from the courageous efforts of advocates who refused to let sexual violence remain in the shadows. In 2001, the National Sexual Violence Resource Center officially designated April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Since then, the campaign has evolved to address the diverse experiences of victims and survivors across the country. The statistics surrounding sexual harm underscore why this month remains vital. According to data from the CDC and the Department of Justice, every 68 seconds, another American is sexually assaulted. Approximately one in five women and one in 71 men will experience completed or attempted rape in their lifetime. Today, we welcome Perrin and Jace, who work tirelessly to help our community address this difficult and complex problem. They come to us from the aptly named Help Center. Hi, Jace and Perrin, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for having us.
We're so glad to have you here today. And maybe Jace and Perrin, just to start, you could tell us how you became involved or decided you could work with the Help Center doing this kind of work, and maybe tell others about what it's like. There could be many out in the community who might like to help.
Well, absolutely. It's a great honor to, one, be a part of the Valley and to be able to work in a place that really shows up for the most vulnerable moments. And it is an honor to advocate for this type of connection, healing, and really to allow, and kind of like what we're doing today is just put a megaphone so that we can really share about the work that we do. And most importantly, if this reaches someone in need, that they know that our services are here for them at any time.
That's so meaningful. It's golden to have that for our community. And of course, we badly need it. Thank you, Jace. Perrin, how about you, dear?
Yes, I have been with Help Center, Inc. since 2010. I started as a volunteer on our hotline services, on our crisis line services. And I currently work as a counselor advocate and as the program manager for the Sexual Assault Counseling Center. And I have to agree with Jace. It is an honor to be with people and to support the community. in moments of vulnerability, because as human beings, we often don't share that with each other. And so it's a real honor to be able to be with people.
Yes, it's very alarming to me to think that during just the time that we present this show and talk about this, there will be people who undergo this terrible impact. So tell us a little bit about, if a person comes to you, what your services are and what the procedure would be. We know that rape is the most underreported crime. 63% of sexual assaults are not reported. So that means, as much hard work as you're doing, there are many others out there. We hope that we're reaching out to you today to let you know that help is available. So if you guys could kind of walk us through the procedures, if a person comes to you with sexual assault experiences, what would happen?
So we are private and confidential. So a person can call and ask to speak to an advocate, and we would talk through with them what options are available. So options like medical, receiving a medical exam to make sure that their body is okay. Potentially that medical exam can include evidence gathering, and they have further options of reporting that to law enforcement, that evidence gathering piece, or to our state has something called the FREP program, which pays for the exam and also allows evidence to be stored for up to 75 years. So it allows people to have time to choose to report to law enforcement or not. Within that, we can provide advocacy and support around things like housing, around finding basic needs, around safety, as well as counseling both in the short term or long term. And all of our counselor advocates are trained in trauma-specific support to support a person through moments like this. Our advocates are available 24 hours a day. So even if it's like 1 a.m. and you're feeling like you want to talk to someone, someone is available for them.
And I would like to add this too. It's all of our services are free. So there is absolutely no burden. There is a hand that's extended out to really guide you, walk with you, and be there throughout the process. And so accessibility is so important to us.
So let me understand. A person has a traumatic event with sexual trauma. They come to your door. There's no charge ever. They receive medical care. They receive counseling. And it can go even further to make sure they have a safe place to be. And so this is like complete wraparound care for those who need it. Am I getting that picture right?
Absolutely you are. And, you know, one of our phenomenal programs here is the follow-up program. And so we know how trauma works through our bodies. And sometimes, you know, there might not be, I think timing, I'm trying to say timing is so key. So if an individual might not be ready for additional help, if they come back a year or two or even 5 years later, we are able to support whenever there is readiness and openness, and nothing is linear. And so we understand that and we show up in every way.
That 75-year figure says a lot. It means there's no timeline on you receiving the help and support that you need to face up to whatever has happened and overcome that.
Yeah, the evidence storage, that change for how long we'll store evidence happened within the 2020, so within the last 6 years that happened. And we're working still. The law for reporting sexual violence does have a 10-year statute of limitations. So for reporting to law enforcement, there is a 10-year time limit, I guess we could say. And we're working towards how we can extend that time further. And when it comes to seeking support and help through the Sexual Assault Counseling Center, there is no timeline.
Thank you for that, and thank you for the work lobbying to get that better in every direction. So we know that a sexual assault creates that urgent to-do list that you need to prevent possible pregnancy, you need to check for sexually transmitted infections, but then Dr. Shweta Kapoor of the Mayo Clinic reports that expertise in complex trauma has shown the long-term impacts of sexual violence on emotional and mental health. And she explains how sexual violence can lead to trouble regulating emotions, a loss of sense of self, dissociation, and post-traumatic stress disorder, among other mental health and health conditions. So it sounds like to me that you've made an effort to equip the Help Center to address those long-term problems as well as the immediate needs. Is that correct?
Yes, our counselor advocates are trained to support if those symptoms arise. And we know that if someone enters care in an acute situation, so if someone comes in after something has happened and they receive support, the likelihood of experiencing long-term symptoms decreases.
Yeah, healthcare is 16% higher for women who were sexually abused as children, we get from the CDC, so it does have a lasting impact. This is interesting. I wonder if you operate on this other end of the continuum. They report that only 5 out of every 1,000 perpetrators will end up in prison, which is so important to speak out if this happens to you. But are you also working to help make sure that perpetrators are addressed in this situation?
We are a victim advocate or victim only services, so only victims receive support through us, so people who have experienced sexual violence can receive support through us. But we do meet with like law enforcement and the county attorney and talk with them about ways to and support victims and survivors of sexual violence. And a part of that is holding people accountable. So we do work closely with law enforcement and prosecutors to hold people accountable.
And we also help the survivors go through that process if that is the process that they're going through.
If they choose.
I just wonder, why do you guys think that only 5 out of every 1,000 perpetrators are actually held to the law?
Yeah, I think it's a complex question that has many answers. Part of it, I think, comes down to like community awareness and community education on topics like sexual violence, how prevalent it is. And I think that's only one piece. There are many parts of this that lead to that.
What is the process, how people get in touch with you?
So there are several different ways that someone can connect with us or be connected with us. They can call our hotline, or our crisis line, the 586-3333 number, and request an advocate, and an advocate will be connected with them. If they are needing medical care and go to Bozeman Health, the ER, seeking medical care, they can. We are contacted and are able to meet with individuals. If they reach out to law enforcement, we're connected with them that way also. And then through community members, through community partners, if someone discloses to their doctor or friends, if they know about us, they can sometimes connected that way.
Would 988 do the trick as well?
Yes, with 988, you can call 988 or 211, and you can be connected with us also.
And how does one get to your doorstep? Kind of give us an idea of where you're located for those who might have a vital interest in coming there.
And I'm aware that you recently have moved, well, in the last year or so.
Yes, it's been just over a year since we moved to our new location. We are located up on Farmhouse Lane, so 699 Farmhouse Lane, kind of close to the hospital and just past the old Life of Montana building.
I think another part of looking at sexual assault might have to do with children and kids and young people, and I particularly love that we've talked with the police department on this show before and the hospital before, and everyone works together with your group. And so there's a real coalition of caring professionals who are trying to help with this in every way they can. And the connectivity is just excellent. But when it comes to children, what would you tell parents who know this has happened or who are concerned something might have happened with their child? How would you advise parents out there to be aware of this and that predators are everywhere? In fact, the majority of sexual assaults happen at home or near the victim's home, often by someone they know or trust. Could you talk a bit about that, Perrin and Jace?
Yes. So we have, with the Sexual Assault Counseling Center, that program supports people over the age of 18. We also have the Gallatin County Child Advocacy Center, which works with children and their non-offending caregivers to provide support. And the process is exactly the same. The counselor advocates within the Gallatin County Child Advocacy Center are trained to support families and children who have experienced sexual violence or severe physical abuse. And if people are concerned that something might have happened or they know something has and are seeking support, they can reach out the same way through 211, 988, the 586-3333 number, and they'll be connected with an advocate. Similar process also, if you're concerned something has happened with a child and you want medical care, Bozeman Health, an advocate would be contacted when you arrive there also. And if you reach out to law enforcement, advocacy would be contacted also.
What would be some of the signs or symptoms that a child might have had an experience like this that parents and caregivers should be aware of?
They can really range. Some of the things that you look for, they're basically changes in behavior. So children maybe withdrawing or outbursts in emotion of some kind, increased secrecy potentially, changes in their school behavior, their school performance. All of those things can also indicate other things have happened. And so what we encourage for families is to have open communication, being a place where your child can come and share about their day and you're receptive to hearing it. The other piece is having communication around like who is able to like see or touch your body. So we often talk about like it's only like mom or dad, or it's only your caregivers and the doctor that like see or touch your body. And we will explain and talk through why the doctor needs to like look, or why mom and dad need to check something. So it's having open communication around why something is happening and when, and respecting boundaries of children. So if a child's like, no, I don't want to hug right now, saying like, okay, when you want to hug, we'll be ready. So having kind of that open communication and having boundaries around certain behaviors so that a child feels comfortable to say no or yes in situations.
Are there certain books or videos for children, especially small children, I guess, you might recommend to parents and caretakers?
Yes, that's a great question. And yes, there are tons of books available to like for parents to read themselves as ways of like how to have open communication. And then there are like children's books to talk through like how to like share and talk and when to share. Tons of those. I unfortunately don't have the list with me. I apologize. But they are available.
In fact, I guess if someone called the help center and asked for that, you could probably direct them. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You guys provide so many services. For a moment, tell us everything the help center does in addition to this.
So in addition to the Sexual Assault Counseling Center and the Gallatin County Child Advocacy Center, we answer the 988, which is the suicide prevention crisis line, as well as the 211 information and referral line. And both of those are national lines. And so we answer both of those and our crisis line through our help center program. Within that program, we have telecare where we provide phone calls to more isolated or homebound individuals to have like daily check-ins or conversations with them, as well as like med reminders and like safety checks if someone is more isolated. We also have the follow-up program. So if an individual is in crisis, suicide crisis, or a mental health crisis, we will call them either on like a daily basis or every other day, or a schedule that works for the individual. For 8 weeks after initial contact to help support them in finding the services and supports that they're needing in the community. And we find that within like a mental health crisis or a suicide crisis, if a person is able to get support for 8 weeks, it reduces the crisis, and the person is able then to connect and get support and services, the things that they're needing. We also have an intern counseling program within the Help Center, which provides free counseling to individuals who are underinsured or uninsured.
I'm going to chime in. I mean, that program is incredible. And across agency-wide, we have provided last year over 8,000 plus free counseling. And I think that just shows the impact and the volume of how we can truly show up.
That's amazing when you think you've done that many and there are so many more that are never reported. So we hope that people will feel free to begin to reach out. And it's amazing all the work you're doing for this community. There's one other area I wanted to ask if you address. It seems like digital spaces should be safe havens, but they've become hunting grounds. In fact, there are lawsuits right now against Snapchat and Roblox and social media because they've become a haven for sexual predators and online sexual harassment. Have you all seen or dealt with much of that problem?
Yeah, through the Sexual Assault Counseling Center with adults, as well as the Gallatin County Child Advocacy Center, we do interact with individuals who have either been victim of online sexual harassment, victims of like online predatory behavior where they're singled out or groomed, things like image sharing or seeking contact with survivors. We do see that digitally through the internet.
I'm so glad to hear that because kids are really tuned into those particular sites, and to think that they're becoming a great tool for sexual predators is very disturbing. Very.
Yeah. And so we often have conversations with families about monitoring. So, you know, with like online games or phone games, we as adults, we might not think that this could be a way that someone could contact our children. And it's kind of our role as people who care for children and, you know, want to keep them safe to check and make sure that anything that your child is engaging with online, you have protections or you have boundaries in place in the way that that happens. So having programs on phones that let you see anything your child is doing, especially if they're young, so, you know, under 16, under 18, kind of being able to check in and see what they're doing on their phones, as well as potentially having regulations on phone time, like no phones in bedrooms, no phones in bathrooms, to reduce the secrecy or the access that the internet has to children.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear you're also looking at that aspect. I know that from the CDC, they also said that sexual assault covers several areas. There's rape, there's molestation, there's unwanted sexual contact of any other form, there's sexual harassment, there's incest, there's child sexual abuse, there's sexual violence, even with an intimate partner, and there's sexual exploitation, which happens a lot online, as we just mentioned. There's human trafficking, which we know occurs a lot in Gallatin Valley from the police department on the show, that there really is human trafficking going on in our city, in our community. And the last one they mentioned is voyeurism. So any of these could be relegated to a sexual assault offense.
And I think we'd add to that verbal sexual harassment, if that wasn't covered.
Yeah, and if a person has experienced any of those at any point in their life, they can reach out and receive support.
Well, the Help Center has so many serious things that they really help with, but another aspect makes me want to say to the folks out there, how about a way to clean and organize your closet? Just think, that pair of boots that don't quite fit, yeah, that coat your child grew out of may provide a warm meal for a family or counseling for sexual assault. Let's all consider a big spring cleaning and take all of our extras to Saks Thrift Store. Every item you give can help someone in need. Now tell us, guys, what is Saks and where is it?
I wish you could see my smile right now, because Saks, you know, I'm new to the Valley. I've been here for a few years, and I have the great fortune to be at Saks every single Friday, not only to kind of do the treasure hunts for myself to see what goodies have been there, but just to be in community. And it has been a staple. The Saks has been here with us since 1987. Mm-hmm. And what I really love about this incredible enterprise is that, just like you said, any and every donation that comes through our doors and every purchase that goes out supports all of our programs. And it is one of the most special places. And I agree, spring cleaning is here, but there's just so many ways you can show up. And I kind of want to lean into a little bit is, you know, the heartbeat of our organization is our volunteers.
Thank you.
And there are so many ways to get involved. And I love, you know, Perrin mentioned the telecare program, and that is such a wonderful way to engage with someone, to be in contact daily, to have a connection. It's something that, you know, has been a part of our, from our beginning days, and it continues to be. And then for those who want to explore the crisis lines, we have an incredible opportunity, typically twice to three times a year. It's a training. It is a Perrin leads this training, but it's about 80 hours. And, you know, Perrin shared her beginnings here, but there's so many of our staff and our program leads that started volunteering in the call center. And we mentioned Saks. It is also a phenomenal place to spend a few hours volunteering. So there's just so many different touch points of engagement that you can be a part of, and you can be a part of the message. And I'll just end on this. I feel that if we can reduce the stigma around mental health, that we can encourage others to reach out. You know, we're talking about some really complicated and vulnerable and traumatic experiences, that we're just able to meet you where you're at. And I think that's the beauty. And, you know, I love that, you know, in this valley right now is we're all coming together for Give Big, but we really leaned into where help begins. And that's really what it has been about. I mean, since 1971, we've been answering a crisis line. And through that, all of our programs have expanded to meet our valley's needs. And we'll continue to expand and continue to meet. I could go on and on, but I just, you know, when you brought Saks up, I wish you could see my smile.
Isn't there a new addition kind of to Saks?
Yes, there is. Oh, wow. This is the first time we're talking about this, which is really, really exciting. Carlos, you mentioned too, we're at our new campus, and that is because of our community. You all showed up, and we were able to purchase this beautiful campus. And part of that opportunity is to allow all of our program services to be on, in one location. And our Child Advocacy Center has just been remodeled. And so we're able to meet everyone here on campus. But that meant we left a very, very special place on Peach Street. And Peach Street, as many of you know, was our home. It was our home for over three decades. And so we wanted to continue that legacy of care. And so this year, and I would say very, very soon, maybe as next month, we're going to be opening up Persica Studios. And Persica Studios is an extension of Saks. It's where we're going to be able to bring curated vintage items, because we know how the Valley has exploded with all these incredible vintage stores, and we want to be able to tap into that and also tap into the art world that's here. And so we feel that this is a new beginning, a new enterprise that meets our community where they're at. And, you know, from the arts aspect is, we know it's therapeutic, it's healing. And, you know, Help Center is meeting people at the most vulnerable in crisis. And Saks is just a place to go to find treasures and be in community, but every single entity supports each other. And we're really excited to have this spring and summer at Peach Street, a new beginning.
So it will be an upscale vintage store hosted by the Help Center.
Absolutely. So you're going to find all these incredible finds, and just like Saks, it's a place to be in. It's a place to learn about our programs. And, you know, there will be a volunteer opportunities, but of course, first and foremost, you got to be at Saks, because that's where the heart of our treasures are. And so many beautiful community members throughout four decades have shared their personal beautiful treasures with us. And so, it's a continuum.
Be a wonderful place to donate that ball gown that you probably won't wear again, or that tuxedo, or a beautiful coat that just isn't needed any longer. Boots, stilettos, just bring it all. Yeah. It'll be so much fun to bring stuff and then also find treasures. I like your word there, Jace. Treasures, yeah. Because that's what can happen. That's the fun of it.
Mm-hmm. It is. I think, you know, so much of these things in our homes hold memories, and to know that they're going to be cherished and continue to have a different story, absolutely. And just to be around the Valley, and I think that's so important. And you know, there's been an incredible legacy at Peach Street. We want to continue that. And at the same time, we're creating a phenomenal legacy here at our new campus. And, you know, we welcome anyone and everyone to come. We have this incredible, beautiful landscape that was just finished up this past fall, and things are beginning to bloom. And that's from our fruit trees to our raspberry bushes to our chicken coop. Yes, we have chicken therapy. I didn't know chickens could be therapists a little bit, but what I love, and for someone that maybe didn't grow up here, outside my window, I get to see this chicken coop. And what I love most is throughout the day seeing counselor advocates bring clients outside to just be with them, to feed them, and even ourselves. And I think that's what's so important about this beautiful space, is utilizing the grounds and planting and bringing life here in such a beautiful way. And we also have these beautiful trail connections that connect to the trail system behind us. So wanting to ensure that our campus feels just as welcoming and as home as Peach Street has been for so long, and we just want to show up in every single way that we can.
And I understand you might have occasional sunrise events on that beautiful trail and in that beautiful meadow-like place.
Yes, I mean, just like so many of our cherished nonprofits are coming together for Give Big, we're kicking off kind of, I want to say, like a blessing to welcome everyone for a sunrise meditation and walk through our trails and our gardens so that we can come together. You know, it's also a place for honoring our loved ones and remembrance and to plant new seeds. And we just want our community to know that we're here.
And who's welcome to come to that morning, early morning
Well, you two are absolutely welcome, but everyone, and this year for Give Big, we really leaned into a message where help begins, and you know it has been since 1971. So we created a campaign website where helpbegins.org, and it shows all the community activations, and it shows exactly where you can join us at 6:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Everybody's welcome, and it is a gentle walk, but I think so many of us are drawn to the valley because of the healing lands and the nature and the connection. And sometimes, you know, even with these campaigns or what we're doing in our lives, we're just disconnected and we want to be in community. And there's so much power when we show up and we hold space and we create space for others. And so Wendy Vishner, who led the Help Center for many, many decades, has an incredible outlook garden with aspen trees and two swinging benches. And so there's just, from that into our memorial garden, you know, there's just places for you to feel welcome. And it's just to be. And I think that has been our intention, and our goal is to create that. And I'll share this. I found an old box, like kind of the dusted off box in our basement. And it's our historical archives from the 1970s. And in this box are clippings and from our early beginnings and photos and the slides. And from the slides from 1970s to 1980s. And for someone or like me that's new to the community, and so many are, but then for those who have been here, these images hold memories. And it really shows our journey throughout the decades. But what I love about the beginning, especially the little house that was on South Wallace, there was a garden. There's an incredible garden. There's a greenhouse. And I was like, there's so much nurturing for inside those walls and outside those walls. And it's kind of like coming home. That's what we're doing here. You know, we have chickens, as I mentioned, but we have 12 garden beds, and we're going to be gardening with our neighbors and just really providing. And there's just different touch points of access, of connection and care. And while I will love to mention this, you know, from our little tiny house in Pete Street with only two counseling rooms, through all of across our campus, including CAC, we have 9 counseling rooms. So there is space to grow into, and we just want you to feel welcome.
That's incredible.
May I say that one of your board members, Bruce Copeland, is a professional gardener. You might get his consultation.
Excellent, yes.
Bruce is going to get a call from me. Yeah.
And also, I had to ask on this sunrise event, do you provide coffee?
We do provide coffee and Dilly Dally Donuts, which, you know, we have a couple of incredible donut shops here, but Dilly Dally Donuts are going to be providing some donuts. And what's happening right after on both April 30th and May 1st, our friends at Roly Poly at their North Broadway location are welcoming us. So you can get coffee and tacos, and we're going to be there greeting everyone and just sharing about the incredible work that we do. And most importantly, it's just that advocacy. You know, how can we lessen stigma around mental health? How can we encourage others that their voice matters and that we're here for them? You know, it's a real connection on the other side of the phone, or if you just stop in, that's what you're going to receive.
And I must say about your outdoor events, there is so much deep psychological research underpinning the value to mental health of being outside in nature and of moving around outside, especially in beautiful Montana. So what you're doing there is also highly, highly therapeutic.
Yes.
Tell us.
We're so excited. I think, my parents heard we were getting plum trees. I was like, there's going to be plenty of pies being baked. And I think that's the beauty of it, that, you know, connection and therapeutic care and trauma-informed care shows up in different spaces here. And I think that's the beauty that we get to witness or continue to get to witness over 50 years is how do we show up and how do we evolve and meet our community exactly where they're at.
Tell us why Give Big is so important.
Well, new to this community I am, but wow, there's something really quite special in about how there is such an interconnected wovenness in how we all show up and engage with each other. And I think this is the 11th year, and we've been fortunate to be partners since the very beginning. And we know that it creates incredible impact. And coming together, wow, that just brings such a huge presence. And, you know, one of the things that we really wanted to focus on this year is how do we get off behind the screens as we're talking, and how to get off the digital, and how do we create maybe some more activations coming together. So there's just ways to be in a physical presence, to hear each other, to support. And Give Big in One Valley, they throw an incredible kickoff event, which is April 30th at the Ferguson Farm. And it's where all the nonprofits in Bozeman, we come together. And it's a little bit of a carnival theme, which I love. So you got rows of tents, and you get to just really learn about what your community is doing and how these incredible nonprofits are showing up. And we get to lean into each other. So I know this year we're going to make a huge impact collectively, and it's just an honor to be a part of this.
You mentioned Ferguson Farms. Could you give directions?
Oh, absolutely. Well,
and that's April 30th, right?
It is. It's mm-hmm. One Valley's kickoff, and it is the address for this one. It's off of Half Fine, exactly. It's 8500 Valley Commons Drive. If you know the new Town and Country, it's a little bit in that area. Sideliners, that beautiful little mall. They take some of the parking lot and transform it into a little bit of a carnival. So it was a location last year. It's the same location this year. And it's 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we really encourage you to come. We're doing the old school little ring toss games. And so there's just ways to come and interact and to meet us and share a little bit more what we do.
Excellent. Perrin, could you, as we're getting closer to the end of the show here, could you give those phone numbers again for anyone out there who might want to reach out, please?
Yes, all of our phone numbers are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you could call 406-586-3333. You could call 988 or 211.
Tell me a little bit more about 211. If someone picked up the phone and called 211, what would they tell them?
So 211 is a national information and referral hotline, and the Help Center Inc. works to maintain a database of nonprofits, human resources, organizations that can help a person in many and hopefully all kinds of situations. So a person could call and say, I need help finding housing, I need help finding a counselor, I'm looking for a psychiatrist, I'm looking for an organization that does like a youth group kind of for my teenager, I'm looking for I want to volunteer at Befrienders. How do I get in contact with them? Any kind of situation a person can call. And we help maintain a database for the 13 counties that we serve here in Southwest Montana. But we also have access to the database for Montana as a whole. So if someone from Great Falls were to call or from Miles City, we'd be able to connect them to resources in their area.
And I would like to add, there's a little bit of a crossover. We understand that a lot of individuals may be calling 211 for searching for a resource, but it can also be connected to you know, a crisis or, some kind of mental support that's needed. So sometimes when we reach out in that resources, we're navigating something that's a bit challenging. So we're really, truly able to show up. Everyone that answers those calls or cross-train to provide that support. So any way to get a hold of us or through those three numbers, and you're going to get the type of care you need.
Would you say, Jason Perrin, that, of course, we know that reporting sexual assault might help you get justice for yourself and for what has happened, but might it also prevent that assaultive person from hurting other people? And so you might be able to stop something that would prevent a serial predator from continuing with his devious work.
Yeah, that is potentially a thing that can happen with reporting to law enforcement. And what we support is the individual choosing the path that is going to help them grow. And if that includes reporting to law enforcement, we will support them through that. And if an individual says they are needing time or space, we will support them in that also. Because a part of growth in that is taking back your decisions and your control. And so.
Yeah, I read a book written by a sexual abuse survivor who said that she never said anything until later in life when her daughter was born and her daughter was growing up, and she realized she could no longer let it go because it impacts other people, not just you.
Yeah. And one thing that we can do as a community as a whole is when someone comes to us, a friend or family member, or we hear something has happened in the community, is to believe, is saying, like, you're saying something happened, I believe you, let's see what support's available for you.
You know, and I just want to add is, you know, it's this really hard conversation, and it can be triggering for some. And for those who, you know, have been listening throughout, it's important that we have these type of conversations. And as you mentioned in that book, and you know, the woman finally coming to a place within herself when she had her child, that's what we're saying. We meet you anywhere. And we also know that there might be some time and distance, but we also know the path of healing. And so when that individual's ready, you know, the care is here.
I wanted to ask, and I usually ask this of caretakers, how do you take care of yourself? How do caretakers caretake?
Oh, so many different ways. I think so many of us have like different approaches, but they're very much the same in that we do all the things, right? We engage with nature, we feed ourselves, like at least once a week someone is brought in like a homemade meal and we all share those things together. We check in with each other. We engage in, like, a lot of us love reading books, and then we'll share books with each other, and then we get to talk about like this very funny or this very sad book that we've engaged in together as a group. And so we stay connected, and being connected is probably one of the best ways that we've found to kind of like support ourselves as we support others.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to add a little bit too. I think one of the things that I get to witness in someone that's, you know, newer to the Help Center is that there's an incredible culture of care. And so what is presented and provided to the public and to our community members is also provided internally. And I think that's part of the culture, and it's part of the longevity of why the parent and so many others have, you know, built a career of care here at the Help Center. And, you know, I think for me, it's finding ways of connection. And part of that connection for me is I get to go feed the chickens every single day. I get to go outside, but I get to be in community. And so maybe that's my encouragement as part of CARES, is finding ways just to show up for yourself, but be open. Because that being open is an incredible thing that allows us to receive.
Well said. Well said. Connectivity baseline here. Arliss always talks about connectivity as a psychologist and how significant that is.
Are there any areas that we have not covered that you said, I wish we would talk a little bit about, fill in the blank there?
Well, I can I be honest? I think we covered it all. Typically, a lot of times the two of us will bring up sex because it's such an incredible part of who we are, and you did so beautifully.
Yeah, and you beat us to it. It's great.
You mentioned, is there a grand opening of the upscale thrift store?
Persica.
We don't have a date yet. The build-out is still happening. I could tell you we have inventory and curation that is going to last us quite a bit. But we are hopefully going to be opening up at the end of some point next month, and be excited to share that through our channels and social media. We'll be launching as well. So definitely be on the lookout on that. And we're very, very excited.
In our last few minutes, do you have any final thoughts for those out there that you serve?
I think I would just hope that they have awareness or hear that we're here and available when they are interested or curious or in need of support, and we'll be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime they can reach out.
And I think what you guys have generously offered is not only us to talk about important information, but to share about the work that we do. And, you know, this valley is growing, and we just want to make sure that every community member knows that we are here 24/7, 365 days. I love that fact that since 1971, that call has been answered, and it continues.
This has been a great program. Thank you guys so much. We want to remind you all and the audience that this program can be heard on KGVM 95.9 FM or KGVM.org on Monday evenings at 7 or Thursday mornings at 9. And later you can go to the internet website and look up the program as well. Sometimes there's a delay in getting it registered, but you can do that later. And to the audience, we would hope that you would make use of the sender as you need to. Call 98. As easy to remember, you could always start things off that way. Suzanne, any final words?
Okay, everyone, get out of that chair and go clean out your closet and bring it to Jace for our wonderful new vintage center that supports everyone across Gallatin Valley.
Thank you guys so much. You've done a terrific job. We love the work that you do, and hopefully everybody goes out and gives big. See you later. This has been Arliss and Suzanne on Healthy and Happiness. See you later.